I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which comes to me as blossom goes on as fruit. There's a YouTube video that takes place on a crowded Copenhagen metro station platform, and the crowds are together, yet they remain separate. They maintain a closed affectation, as is typical in all people traveling on public transportation. When it arrives, they enter the train, eyes on their newspapers, iPhones, and their books, earbuds in place. As the train rushes through the city, someone takes a flute from their bag and begins to play Peer Gynt. From the crowded train, other instruments emerge from travelers' bags, clarinets, an oboe, stringed instruments. They all join in. When the music begins, there are suspicious glances and wariness from the commuters. What is this unexpected occurrence? A beautiful gift of music is offered without need of reciprocation, and people begin to receive the gift with smiles, even tears. Earbuds are removed. People look at each other. The musicians include everyone with their music and their welcoming faces. When the train doors open a few minutes later, people exit with smiles for each other, and kindness, and a sense of being together in a special moment that has connected them. The video is called Unexpected Joy, the musicians, members of the Copenhagen Philharmonic Orchestra. I have sometimes struggled with the unexpected because it is not always joyful. There was a day last February when I was feeling particularly anxious about the unexpected. It was a Saturday morning, and I was the on-call chaplain covering the four hospitals of the California Pacific Medical Center. It was my first 24-hour on-call shift, and I was really nervous. Not totally about the work. I knew I could do the work. I was nervous about the unexpected. I didn't know what would happen that day and what I would be called on to do. When I realized that it was the unexpected that I feared, I said a prayer for my willingness to live with the unknown that day and to somehow welcome the unexpected and for grace and humor to accompany me. So I set off driving to San Francisco from Berkeley. It was early Saturday morning. I was at a stoplight, and I noticed a woman walking her pet along the sidewalk. I did a double take. It was not a dog. It was a fat little black pig taking in the sunshine in downtown Berkeley on a rhinestone-studded leash. I do not lie. I just started laughing out loud. Soon I was at the Bay Bridge at the toll booth. And I got out my $5 fare, rolled down the window, and handed over the cash. But the attendant said, "No charge. The guy in front of you paid your fare." Wow, really? I was the recipient of a random act of kindness on a busy bridge in a city of 7 million people. I just started giggling. I handed him my $5 anyway and said, "Well, then I'll pay for the next person." The toll booth attendant laughed, and he said that we had made his day. He wished me well, and both of us were left with big grins on our faces and a kind of connected, happy glow. It dawned on me as I continued on my way that I had encountered three unexpected moments on my drive to the hospital: the pig, the gift of the stranger, and the opportunity to pass on the gift. They were completely unexpected and completely lovely. I heard the laughter of the divine in those encounters, telling me with humor that the unexpected can be wonderful too, and that surprise is part of the wonder. If I were to try to block the unexpected from my life out of fear, that would mean I would miss out on the delightful, unanticipated surprises that bring joy and sparkle to an ordinary day, like a rhinestone collar on the neck of a pig shining in the sun. Those surprises woke me up enough to bring me more fully into myself and open myself to the mystery of that particular day, of which I did not know what was going to happen. But these unforeseen events pierced through my shell of seriousness and fear and allowed light in, and there was just a little more space to breathe. In that spaciousness, there was God. The God of ordinary, startling beauty and connection just said, "Hey." And it reminded me of my favorite phrase of Mary Oliver's: "All things are inventions of holiness." These tiny, holy moments are ordinary and extraordinary at the same time. Sometimes unexpected moments of joy just happen. You're in the right place at the right time, like with me and the pig and the toll. But also, you can make an intention to open our eyes to see what is beautiful right in front of us, out of our windows, in the person we are with, in the trees, in the sky, in the snow. Or perhaps we just choose to spread joy. Many faces come to my mind when I think of spreading joy: Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, Dr. Seuss, Helen Keller. As you know, Helen Keller was left both blind and deaf after an illness at 19 months old. I imagine that her family was reeling from the unexpected tragedy that had occurred, and yet they believed that she could learn to communicate again. After much frustration and many attempts to find Helen a teacher, Ann Sullivan arrived. And through frustrations and difficulty, both the teacher and the student persevered, and Helen did learn to communicate. She eventually learned to read Braille as well as sign language by hand, and she learned to speak. She was delayed in picking up language, but that did not stop her from having a voice. Helen was the first deaf-blind person to earn a bachelor's degree. She went on to become a well-known speaker and author. A Wisconsin newspaper in 1916 reported on a lecture that Helen had given there, and this is what the article says. According to those who attended, Helen Keller spoke of the joy life gave her. She was thankful for the faculties and abilities that she did possess and stated that the most productive pleasures she had were curiosity and imagination. Keller also spoke of the joy of service and the happiness that came from doing things for others. Keller was quoted as saying, "Helping your fellow man was one's only excuse for being in this world, and the doing of things to help one's fellows lay the secret of lasting happiness." End quote. Helen Keller was an advocate for people with disabilities, a suffragette, a pacifist, a radical socialist, and a birth control supporter. In 1920, she helped to found the American Civil Liberties Union. There is so much inspiration in Helen Keller's life and her ability to embody joy in what could have been a dark and silent world. I am especially encouraged right now in our own challenging times to remember her instructions: to see with imagination, to hear and listen with curiosity, and to help our fellow humans as the most important reason for being here. We too can invite and participate in spreading joy and offering up unexpected acts of kindness, like the Copenhagen Philharmonic did on the crowded subway car, like Operation Beautiful, whose mission is to post loving anonymous notes in public places for other people to find. Their website says, "The point is that we are all beautiful. You are enough, just the way you are." Our seventh UU principle reminds us that we are all interconnected. What we put into the web of existence is felt by all. Let's add kindness. Let's inhabit our days and allow the living to open us, make us less afraid, more accessible. May our loving hearts become torches of warmth and light and promise. In this uncertain and unpredictable time, I am committing to two things. One, I will notice at least one thing of beauty in my day. Perhaps I will go looking for it in the woods or maybe going out after dark to look at the stars. I will pay attention to the loveliness around me. And two, I will offer at least one act of unexpected joy every day. It may be as simple as reaching out in a text or a real card to someone who would appreciate knowing that they are cared about. I'm making a list of ideas of how to spread this love, and I'm hoping you will join me in the doing and the list making. I put a large easel paper downstairs in the parish hall, and I have started the list. So I invite you to add your ideas and read other people's. And let's flood our lives and our own little corner of the world with unexpected joy. Let us live so that which came as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to us as blossom goes to the next as fruit. Thank you. Blessings.